When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
There's a myth a lot of us grow up believing that hair loss is just a part of life. It happens. It runs in the family. Once it starts, there's no stopping it. But here's the truth. That's outdated thinking. Scientific understanding of hair loss has advanced in recent years. Today, we have a deeper knowledge of underlying causes, and we've developed science-backed solutions that are both effective and safe. And that's at the very root of Happy Head. Dermatologist-led innovation offering stronger, FDA-approved ingredients that work. But what really sets Happy Head apart is how personalized it is. They don't do one-size-fits-all fixes. You fill out a comprehensive consultation, and their board-certified dermatologists assign a formula specifically for your hair loss pattern, goals, and lifestyle. And whether you're early in your journey or more advanced, Happy Head offers targeted options that actually work. Topical treatments, oral capsules, or potent dual-action bundles all delivered directly to you, discreetly and freshly compounded in the U.S. Most people start seeing results in 3 to 6 months. But the real magic? It's sustainable. This isn't just about growing hair, it's about keeping it long-term. So no, hair loss isn't inevitable anymore. Visit happyhead.com and find out what's possible when science, expertise, and personalization come together. Hair happiness starts here.
What are you looking at?
I just got a Grindr message that reads, "Hola, are you into hairy Latino chub bottom dad bears? Bear emoji."
I mean, are you?
I'm open to all kinds of things, but maybe just start with a, "Hey, how's it going?" This man is clearly a native New Yorker who's moved to Los Angeles because he's like, "I've got no time for reindeer games. I'm getting right to the point."
Yeah, reindeer belongs on Santa's sleigh and not anywhere near gay hookups. So I think I'm on team Latino bear bottom daddy.
And that's cats.
Welcome to the Shit Show. Welcome to I Think Not, the podcast where Joey Taranto reads his Grindr messages. That would be a great podcast.
Who? I would out myself so much. There's some things that need to stay, but pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. There's some things that should remain secrets.
So many things that you have said on this podcast. But you are here. You are in the right place. This is I Think Not, where Joey and I sit and we recap our favorite true crime TV shows. And you all, we have a new series and I freaking love it. Do you know why I love it, Joey?
Why?
Reenactment actors are back. No reenactment actor is safe. I am so happy to have reenactment actors back.
I am too. And also, if you want a little bit more of us, you can head over to patreon.com/ithinknot, where for as little as $5, you can get 4 bonus episodes a month. That's 3 true crime episodes and 1 true crime adjacent, which right now is The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. Also, we have all kinds of community events where we have a watch party coming up soon. We have a paint party coming up soon. And if you are just joining those tiers, please let us know when you come to the event because we want to know who you are. We want to meet you. We want to embrace you. And it's just a fun place to, you know, embrace the community.
And with this Patreon announcement, I have a big announcement. I have been asking for years, you all, for Patreon to have an option to gift subscriptions. We can't even gift subscriptions. My mom has been paying for the Patreon since 1902.
My sister, too.
Now you can gift a Patreon subscription. You could give someone a month or a year. You can ask your partner for it because here's the thing. I love doing things like that because I don't need any more stuff. So if you have a friend to gift something to, if you want to gift it to yourself, you can do anything. So head on over to Patreon if that interests you. It has been actually really infuriating that that has never been an option. I think I've emailed them 10 times. I even asked the CEO when I met him in LA years ago. I was like, hey, how about gifting subscriptions? And it only took 60 emails and a couple of house calls. I did get arrested and have a current outstanding restraining order. Don't worry about it, but head on over if that interests you. But you know, we're always here in your main feed on Wednesdays, and we love you for being here.
Yeah, we do. Shall we get to the episode, my love?
Yes. All right, you all. This is a great new series that we have coming at you this month. Web of Lies, Season 3, Episode 1, Blast from the Past.
A lonely single mom.
Everyone loved my mom.
She was bubbly.
She was always loud.
Looks online for company.
I won't be late.
But when a first date turns dark,
something's definitely not right here.
Police are left with a cyber trail of failed relationships.
Stay away from my husband, you bitch!
She treated me like no one had ever treated me before.
And lies to untangle.
And I looked at him, and then it was just gone.
We still have questions we'll never be able to answer.
Well, it is August of 2012, and we are in Brownwood, Texas. And we hear about 38-year-old Michelle Ryder, and I'm here to tell you...
Oh, she's a native New Yorker.
Yes, a native New Yorker trading in her cement-friendly sneakers for sexy cowboy boots.
And why not? Because I have pounded that pavement in high heels, and I've got the swollen, chubby Flintstone feet to prove it.
Yabba-dabba-doo! So, Michelle's a single mom of two who works at Home Depot, and honey, all the patrons adore her. She has a big personality, she's cheerful, and she's a flirt, which I'm here for.
Yeah, and we're joined by her bestie, Denise Worrell, and she was one of Michelle's friends who also just echoed that she was really fun, really outgoing, always upbeat, and she also said she was a little bit of a flirt, and we see reenactment Michelle flirting with a reenactment sleeve tattoo man. I mean, who likes tattoo sleeves? Not me.
Not me either.
No. I mean, there was not a time during the lockdown that I most certainly was on, do you want to see my tattoos TikTok? And yeah, what a time to be alive. I'm not going to lie. I am a sucker.
All of our FYPs were a hot mess during COVID. And it's funny because Denise and Michelle work together at Home Depot, and Denise is like, no, we became like best friends our first shift together. Now, I've never made best friends with someone in a day, but I have made enemies in like 5 minutes. Do I get a prize?
Yeah, and with some hard work and dedication, I feel you could get that down to like 3 or 4. I do. Listen, believe in yourself. We also see reenactment Michelle talking to reenactment Denise and showing her tattoos and a potential tattoo that she might get in the future. This will be pertinent information later on. Now, Michelle has just gone through a breakup. She was going out with this guy for about 4 years, and then he cheated on her.
Yeah.
I mean, Joey, I looked this up. Do you know that 65% of married men cheat in America?
Is that true?
Yeah. And the rest just go to Slovenia and do it over there. So...
You know, in this day and age, it's 2024. Why not just ask for what you want? You know what I mean?
There are all kinds of relationships. There are people writing their own rules. I'm over it. By the way, did you see the TikTok of the woman who took her cheating boyfriend over the border back to Mexico and left him there?
No.
He was here illegally, and he fell asleep in the car, and she drove him over the border and was like, bye.
Holy shit. That's one way to get rid of an ex.
Listen, I'm here for it. Like, the rules go out the window if you're cheating. I haven't looked for a follow-up video, but I'm hoping there is one. They just talked about it on a podcast the other day that I saw, so I went hunting for it.
That is insane.
Denise invites Michelle to be her housemate.
The nice thing about her being able to move in with me was she wasn't completely on her own yet, and she had somebody that was there for her, you know, so she didn't have to adjust to being in a quiet home.
So they make it happen. Things are great. Michelle's teenage kids, Alexis and Ty, would often come visit. And the thing about Michelle is, not only was she a great friend and employee, she was a great mom.
Yeah. And one day, though, you know I am waiting for someone to be like, she could take or leave those kids. But her sweet kids are here, both Ty and Alexis, and they just speak about her cooking and how she always cooked too much. It's very sweet. Both of them are here, and they're adorable.
Well, her son Ty is like, she made my favorite spaghetti and meatballs almost every day. And I was like, wait a minute. When I was a kid, I would ask my mom to make me French toast, but I didn't know it was called French toast, so I just called it bread in a pan. She knew what I meant, and she never corrected me. And I got that bread in a pan, and I gobbled it up.
Oh, I could just imagine adult Joey being like, bread in a pan, please. Oh, that's so cute. I used to not correct Lola when she said words wrong. Like when she said a pop cake for a cupcake. Yeah. She said it till she was 12. I'm a bad mom. So Michelle has an ex-husband by the name of Steve, and we see the reenactment scene where the kids are like all around the dinner table and Steve comes a little early. My parents used to do that all the time. It bothered her because it infringed on her time with her kids. Now, the kids actually chose to stay with Steve because due to work and, you know, living arrangements, Michelle moved about an hour away and the kids were like, we really want to stay in our high school. Yeah. So they stayed with Steve. And here's the thing. Her relationship with Steve was not good. They had only divorced about 4 years ago, and Michelle left him for another man. And Steve is here.
When it came to Michelle wanting to see the kids, I was all for it because she's still her mom. She was always going to be their mom, no matter what happened between us.
I mean, you know, I get it. Of course, she's always going to be their mom and everything. But he harbored some resentment towards her, for sure.
And also, we say that without judgment, because you never know what happens behind closed doors.
Absolutely.
You know, and things change. People grow. And sometimes you grow together and sometimes you grow apart.
Yeah.
And one person in that party can't accept what is. So we don't know. But we hit September 7th, 2012. Michelle is single and she's ready to mingle. So she takes to Facebook to let folks know. Now, listen. You gotta play the game to win it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she gets a friend request from a guy named Rocky Switzer. And just like her,
he's a native New Yorker.
That's right. Rocky is also a native New Yorker. And he's like, we actually went to high school together.
Yeah. She's like, wait, we did? And so Denise is here to tell us the day she walked into Michelle's room and she saw her like kind of thumbing through old yearbooks, trying to look up this guy, Rocky Switzer. I love yearbooks and I lost all mine in my mom's house fire.
I went to small Christian high schools and we never had yearbooks.
Stop it.
Yeah. Also,
they're just
I don't
like
care.
What they were. It was just like a leaflet. It was like it was a couple pages stapled together. Nothing.
I mean, not really. Like, I have pictures from high school and like the handful of people that I maybe want to say hello to and Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
They're on my Facebook. So like, right. That's yeah. enough.
But she was there and she was like, Rocky Switzer, Rocky Switzer. And she's like, I can't find you. And then Rocky was like, oh, no. I was in your sister Melanie's class. So she kind of had this feeling that he wasn't quite a stranger, that like she kind of knew him peripherally. So she accepted his friend request.
Yeah. Well, they spend the weekend messaging, you know, getting to know each other. And it turns out they had a lot in common. Now, listen, as someone who is newly single for the first time in a long time, when you connect with someone that way, it's exciting. It's fun. It's like, especially if you have good banter, like, I get it. I mean, I could see how someone would be like, yep, we're going to message all weekend. It's fun. Mm-hmm. And Denise says Michelle was like, you know what? He's a nice guy. But here's the thing. Rocky didn't have a profile picture, which is
not
weird.
Not in a million years.
Yeah.
In a million years. You don't have a picture. You don't exist. You're a bot. Nope.
Well, simply for my ADHD, I need a face to go along with this conversation.
Yeah, totally. Yes, absolutely. And he was like, oh, you know, I'm new to social media. I don't know if I buy that in 2012, but okay.
Hey, Denise.
Yeah?
I finally got a picture.
Oh, yeah? And?
It's kind of cute.
Michelle finally sees a photo of Rocky. He looks good, but she wonders who the attractive blonde is on his arm.
You all, men, this is just really for you, because this is all I've ever seen. Just, you're out here on these dating streets posting pictures. I have seen men, Joey, post their goddamn wedding picture
Whoa.
With their wives cropped out of it. Just a little cut, copy, do better, right? Just cut all the women out. Cut everybody out. We talked about this in our live show. This is just you. I just want to see your face.
Yeah, we're not trying to Where's Waldo this shit. All you gotta do is take a selfie in front of a nice fountain at the Grove. It's not that hard. So it turns out that this woman in the picture, though, was none other than Tanya Tucker. I can't name one Tanya Tucker song, can you?
No, I'm sure someone will. Oh, I do. It's called I Don't Have a Profile Picture, but I've got a picture of bad attitude and a wonky leg. I don't know.
I may not have a profile picture, but I've got a bad attitude and a wonky leg. Was that worth anything? Where's my parade?
Tanya Tucker's best. It's on her Greatest Hits album. It's the B-side of the Greatest Hits. But
Delta
yes.
Dawn. Oh.
Delta Dawn, what's that flower you have on?
So that's like old country. I'm really into rock country. I went to the Dylan Gossett concert the other night. Mm-hmm. He's amazing. Like, I love like rock and like pop country. It's nailing it for me.
Yeah, I'm a Casey Musgraves boy. Well, here's the thing. That Monday morning, September 10th, Rocky messages Michelle to say he's going to be in Abilene, Texas, which is close to Brownwood, and asks if she'd like to get dinner. So she agrees, and it's a date.
Yeah, so they exchange numbers. You know, that's a big step, right? When you go off the app and you, like, actually have each other's numbers.
Don't I know
it. So it's about 4 p.m. She's getting ready. She's excited and scared. And because we've all experienced this if you've been on a dating app. You can have all the chemistry in the world on text. There can be like witty banter, but you don't actually know until you're face to face, till you have actual FaceTime if the chemistry is there, right?
Ellen, what? I literally wrote almost everything you just said.
Oh, real? I don't write that shit.
You can have chemistry over text with someone, but then you meet in person and that chemistry can dry up quicker than Ellen at the RNC.
That was way funnier than mine. No, but have you ever had that? That's actually a real thing. You're like, oh, I can't wait to meet this person. It just flows.
Oh, but yeah. Listen.
A lot of things flow behind a screen.
There are people. Just look at my OnlyFans. Listen, the thing is that people behind a keyboard can be very confident.
Mm-hmm.
Ellen and I know it better than anyone. We call them keyboard warriors. But when they get in front of you, they don't show up the same way.
Yeah.
And I get it. Like, listen, we all have anxiety. We all have things that we deal with. And it takes some getting used to like show up as your most authentic self.
Mm-hmm. Well, reenactment Denise gets home to find reenactment Michelle getting ready.
Hey.
You look nice.
Well, thank you.
So, where's he taking you?
Rockin' our steakhouse, Santa Ana.
Oh, fancy.
Mm-hmm. Listen, I won't be late.
Okay. Have fun.
See ya.
It was nice to see her enthusiastic, and I was happy for her.
Well, all of a sudden it's midnight and Denise is like, wait, she said she wasn't going to be late.
Mm-hmm.
Where is she? So she texts her and is like, hey, how's it going?
Yeah.
No response. And then around 12:30 a.m., she texts Michelle again asking if she's okay. Again, no response. Now, in Denise's mind, she's thinking something feels weird. You know, she kept checking her phone to see if there was a text and there was nothing. And now it's 2:20 a.m.
Yeah, she'd kind of dozed on the couch and was like, wait, oh my gosh. Now she's worried. Before she was like, this is peculiar, but you kind of think that you're like, well, maybe they hit it off. Maybe they're, you know, hanging out, drinking, whatever. But she knew something wasn't right. Now it's 4 a.m.
Yeah.
And Denise calls her bestie. She doesn't pick up. And as soon as she wakes up on the morning of September 11th, 2012, she calls Home Depot and she, you know, says, is Michelle there? And they say she's not. And she didn't reach out to say she wasn't going to show up. And now she's like, okay, we're not messing around. We're calling the police.
Yeah. She calls 911 and an officer arrives. Denise tells them the whole story of how she met Rocky on Facebook, going to the steakhouse, all of it. And she goes, wait a minute, I can pull up his Facebook profile on her computer. Let me grab it. Well, she pulls out the computer. She's searching Rocky.
Mm-hmm.
There's no Rocky. It's fucking weird. And I'm sure in that moment, Denise was like, holy fucking shit.
Or like she feels crazy. You know, you're like, oh, no. It was right here. I swear. And it's not like James, right? Like Rocky is gonna, I don't know, maybe that is like James in Texas. I don't know. So she files a missing persons report and the case gets in the hands of Detective Brian Tompkins of the Brownwood Police Department. And he is not concerned. He's like, I've heard this happen before. People go on dates, you know, maybe they get a little hammered and they have a little sleepover. Well, he is here, the detective, and he says,
when I was assigned the report, what caught my eye was the name Rocky Switzer, because that was the last person that friends and family knew Michelle was supposed to be with when she went missing.
That caught your eye?
That's...
You just told us the same information we... I really thought he was going to give us some kind of
I know.
Nugget. He's just stating facts. Thank you, detective. We've got it from here.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for that.
I never missed first period at detective school. I
what
paid attention.
What caught my eye was his name, Rock. We got that, sir.
Now, Detective Tompkins immediately calls Michelle's sister, Melanie, to ask what she knows about Rocky Switzer, seeing how they went to high school together. And Melanie is like, who the fuck is Rocky Switzer? I don't know that name. I've never heard that. That is not a real name. That name sounds crazy. Rocky Switzer? Who the fuck is that? What's the problem? Now, Denise also told police that Rocky said he worked at the Dallas-Fort Worth airport. So Detective Tompkins calls them to find out about Rocky. Y'all, they have no employee by that name. So now he knows more than ever. No, something is wrong. Something is amiss here.
So he takes the 30-minute drive to Santa Ana, which is where Michelle was going to go on her date. And he goes to the steakhouse. They were going to go to dinner. Now, okay, so reenactment Brian Tompkins. I want everyone to achieve their dreams.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yes.
If you want to be a cardiologist, if you want to conduct an orchestra, or if you want to be a reenactment actor, I want that for you. I want everyone to achieve their goals. But I will not stand by for mediocrity.
Okay.
Okay. I need emotion behind these lines. Rick, can you play them an example, please?
Ma'am, Detective Tompkins, Brownwood PD. I was wondering if you could tell me, was this woman in here last night with anyone?
Joey, you are a professional actor.
Mm-hmm.
I would like you to give me the following lines, and I will give you an emotion.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
I am Detective Brian Tompkins. I was wondering if you could tell me if this woman was here last night with anyone, okay?
Okay.
Focus. Okay. Read that for me, Joseph. Mm-hmm. Concerned.
Hi there. I am Detective Tompkins with the Brownwood Police Department. Do you remember seeing this woman last night?
Great. Okay, great. Can we have that same read, Joey?
Mm-hmm.
And can you give me a detective from the Bronx who's just had a steak sandwich? And go.
Okay. Hey, how you doing? I am Detective Tompkins. And, excuse me, I'm so sorry.
Uh-huh.
Could you tell me, you remember seeing this woman last night?
Great, great. Just like that, Joey. Now, I want you to do those same lines. I'm like, you ran there.
Okay.
Like, you jogged there. Here we go.
Okay, ready, here we go. I'm just remembering what it's like to jog. Okay, okay, here we go. Hey, how you doing? All right, sorry, I just jogged here. I am Detective Tompkins, and I was wondering if you could tell me if you remember seeing this woman here last night. One second.
Great.
Never jog after you ate a steak sandwich. All right.
I'm just saying, you're going to come at me with these choices. I'm going to come back at you with notes. Thank you. I am done.
Yeah, no, this man, I think that his line of work involves him playing R2-D2 in the Star Wars reenactment play over at the Flip Flop Playhouse.
Well, here's the thing. They do this scene. The information we get, no one at the restaurant had seen her.
Not just that. On Monday, September 10th, the steakhouse was closed. When they said that, my heart dropped. And I know that in that moment, that detective knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, Michelle is in trouble. And I know that when best friend Denise heard that information, she also was like, fuck, that's really terrifying.
Well, not only was it closed on that Monday, did you focus in on the business hours?
No.
Okay. It's only open Wednesday through Friday from 11 to 2 and 4 to 9.
How do they make any money?
They were like, listen up. We're only going to work 3 days a week. Furthermore, we're only going to work 8 hours in those days. They're like, money, we don't need it. We don't want it.
We don't even like it.
The weekends are the most popular time for people to go out for food. We're not going to be open.
Yeah.
Nope. You're on your own. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, you're on your own. You want steak Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? You come here.
Exactly. Hey, Carl, can I just ask you about your business model? How do y'all afford to stay open? No problem, Bob. What we do is our filet mignons, they are $500 a piece. And that's how we make our money.
I was like, not only were they closed on Monday, They're closed Saturday through Tuesday.
Honey, listen, and who needs money in Santa Ana, Texas? Well, all of this is very dire, right? And so whoever Rocky Switzer is, he's a liar and most likely does not exist.
With nothing to go on, the detective puts out an appeal on the local news, asking anyone with information about Michelle's whereabouts to come forward. Michelle
Ryder. Hey, it's on.
For Michelle's kids, Ty and Alexis, their mother's disappearance makes no sense.
You know, when we're kids, we think our parents are invincible. They'll always be around.
Yep.
My heart keeps breaking for them, you know?
And they're so sweet, and they're really articulate, and they're basically like, you just don't want to believe it, but when you see your mom on the news, that's when it became real. Oh my gosh, I totally understand. That's like, no, it's because they'll find her. Oh, wait.
Yeah.
No, she's on TV. I can't even imagine that level of devastation.
Well, and as is the case in small towns, rumors fly, and the kids are confronted with this rumor that their mom disappeared on purpose, but they're like, you don't know my mom.
Yeah.
My mom would never do that. So now Detective Tompkins drives to the city of Trent to speak with Michelle's ex-husband, Steve.
And so, of course they do, because they have to talk to a partner or a former partner.
Sure.
But they heard the marriage didn't end so great, right? It ended on kind of a sour note. So Detective Tompkins is basically like, where does your relationship stand? And also, did you talk to Michelle on the 10th? And Steve confirms that they did. They talked on the phone. And he's like, you know, she kind of mentioned her ex and how they had broken up because obviously she moved and it didn't go great. And they were like, okay, cool. What was that guy's name? And Steve says, Lanny Bush.
And the detective's like, okay, great. Thank you for that information. Also, do you know a Rocky Switzer? And Steve is like, that's a stupid name. No idea who that is.
Also, I just want to say that reenactment actor is still giving us nothing. And if he is listening, I am available for coaching and my rates are very reasonable. Mm-hmm. You're unacceptable.
Okay. Yep.
Okay. Thank you. I just have a little side hustle coaching reenactment actors.
As you should. Well,
you guys should go to Ellen. She's so good with reenactment actors.
Yeah, she will give you inspiration out of breath after a steak sandwich interviewing someone in the Bronx. So Detective Tompkins calls ex-boyfriend Lanny, who is now living with his new girlfriend, the one that he had an affair with while still with Michelle, and he asks him some questions. And Lanny explains that, yes, their breakup was pretty bad as he cheated on her, but now they're on good terms. He also asks Lanny about Rocky Switzer, and he's like, I don't know that name, but you should know. She was seeing a married man after we broke up. I don't know his name, but that might be pertinent to your case.
Mm-hmm. So now with this information, Detective Tompkins heads to the Home Depot to ask the employees more questions and sort of get a little more of the backstory or just find out what her coworkers knew.
Yeah. Well, he speaks with her good friend and coworker, Yolanda. He asks about her relationships and Yolanda mentions a name, Kemper Croft, which I don't believe to be a real name. Not at all.
Well, before that, the narrator or whoever wrote the script decided to, you know, mildly slut shame Michelle and say,
she reveals a tangled web of men.
Can we not? This was a single woman trying to date, trying to find love, trying to find someone to pay attention to her clitoris. They were like, now tell me, was this woman a little bit of a slut? Because a lot of you women are out here, you know, being whores, and I don't want to put words in your mouth. There was a lot of men, right? Right?
It's so weird.
A tangled web of men she was dating.
Also, there is no tangled web. She went out with a handful of guys.
Yeah.
And wait till you hear this story, because Kemper Croft and Michelle met when he came into Home Depot about 6 weeks prior. Very charming, and he mentioned that he was in the midst of a separation from his wife. Gave her his phone number, and Michelle was like, into it. Fair enough, right? So the problem was, Kemper was a liar. He was not separated. In fact, his wife called Michelle and accused her of having an affair with her husband. She was very angry, and Michelle was like, wait a minute, I had no idea. He told me you were separated. Like, I'm happy to walk away from this guy because I've been cheated on. I don't want to be wrapped up in this. She was not trying to be involved with a married man. So I really hate it that they're like, what did they call it? A web of what?
A tangled web of men.
Now, was it.
Or was she just dating, right?
Exactly.
Like you said.
And also, I totally understand why this woman called. Now, I do have some information to share with everyone. Since we are an educational podcast, I do feel like it's my responsibility and my duty to share. And I'm going to try to explain this as thoroughly as I can.
Don't say duty again. Go ahead.
People lie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. That was it. People lie.
Yeah.
And Michelle wanted no part of it. She was like, she did the right thing. She broke it off. She didn't know he was married.
Of course not. So now Detective Tompkins locates Kemper, brings him in for questioning, and he tells them how they met, how they went out a few times. And when asked about the name Rocky Switzer, Kemper doesn't recognize it.
Kemper told me that he did make contact with her on the phone on the 10th of September in regards to having to quit talking to her because his wife, Susan, had found out about the affair.
Is that what you did? Or did you call her to say the shit hit the fan and Michelle was like, go and fuck yourself for lying to me, you piece of shit garbage human being?
I think the B version of what you said.
Right. Well, even though he's an asshole, it doesn't make him a murderer because Detective Tompkins is like, you know what? I don't believe he's involved.
Tompkins wanted to get a little bit of the tea as well because he's like, how'd she find out?
Mm-hmm.
And Kemper is like, I have no idea, actually, but I actually know why. I did some side research. Mm-hmm. Do you want to know why?
Yeah,
do you
want
to know how she found out?
Yeah.
She found out because women are smarter than men. I don't think I've actually said those words out loud. Women are smarter than men. Now, I'm not saying women don't cheat. Women absolutely cheat. I can only speak from my female experience. But if you are lying out of your liar hole and you are telling lies, I will present them in a PowerPoint presentation in front of a court. So I'm just saying, they lie. You're welcome.
You think you're smarter than me? I grew up on the bayou. You're not smarter than me. Okay. You ain't know nothing. What you do know couldn't scratch the watch on the backside of a turtle.
What is your name, sir?
My name is Earl, and I drive a pickup truck that only has two tires on it.
Wow, that is sophisticated. Listen, I mean, I get it, how it would be triggering for Michelle. You don't want to be a part of that. It's so hard to rebuild trust, and it's hard to trust people when all you have is past evidence that you just shouldn't.
Yeah, it's a lot. Well, so she knows what it feels like to be cheated on. She doesn't want to be involved in that. So now we hit September 14th, and Michelle's family is still waiting for any updates, but there are none. However, Denise, out of the blue, receives a message from Michelle on America Online. I don't know what's scarier, getting a message from your friend who is missing or getting a message from AOL. Did the AOL still exist in 2012?
Gather around the campfire, children. AOL was short for America Online, and it was a way for America to get online. But you could only use it if no one else in the household was on your landline telephone because you could only use one or the other. And your landline connected to a modem. The fun we would have, children, waiting 10 to 12 minutes to connect with America only to open your computer and hear the magic words. Say it with me, children. You've got mail. Yes. This internet provider only gave you a handful of minutes a month. And if you were online at a very popular time of the night, you would get a busy signal, children, and you'd have to try again later. Oh, the fun we were to have, children. What a time to be alive.
Yes, I first dabbled in homosexuality on America Online.
Okay, we're going to get a letter. But yeah, she was like, she doesn't use that account. And basically, down bitch best friend was like, this isn't her.
Yeah.
This is absolutely not her.
Especially after reading the message, because the message said,
his message says, I'm fine, but I can never come back. Not now. Just let it alone.
And Denise is like, first of all, she wouldn't send that from an AOL account. She would text it to me. And like, also, she just wouldn't do this. She wouldn't just abandon her life and her kids.
Well, also, Denise is a down bitch, don't forget. And she reaches out to ex-husband Steve. And she's like, hey, I got this letter from Bunny Ears Michelle. Did you also get a message? And he didn't. And even Denise was like, listen, drama is drama. Breakups are breakups. She loved her kids and so did Steve. And they were still co-parenting. There's no way Michelle would have not reached out to Steve in order to get a message to the kids.
Yep.
So down bitch Denise was like, absolutely not. And
Her and everyone in the community put their efforts into high gear now.
Yeah, they flyered the town with Michelle's missing poster. They're trying to think of anything and everything they can do to help. Now, one day, out of the blue, one of Michelle's friends named Jessica notices Rocky Switzer is back on Facebook. And she's like, holy fuck, I gotta call Denise. Well, Denise calls Detective Tompkins and gives him the heads up. And he's like, I gotta get two steps ahead of this.
Right, and that is the only time we're gonna hear from Jessica.
Yep.
Like, that reenactment actor, no doubt, was the niece of the director. But let's hear her line.
Denise, it's back. Rocky's profile is back up.
Good job. That was great.
Yeah.
Well, this is actually really helpful. So the detective reaches out to Facebook for an account preservation order. I just thought it was really hard to get into Facebook for some reason, because at first he freezes the account, which I thought was interesting that they could do. Now, he does obtain a warrant in order to get the IP address associated with Rocky Switzer's profile. But this was like early days of Facebook, so maybe things are a little different. I don't know.
Who knows?
Reenactment Tompkins continues to be disappointing, and he says,
I'm coming for you, Rocky.
Oh, Lord. So the detective starts going through Rocky's DMs, and he can see the conversation that Rocky was having with Michelle. And he also notices Michelle told Rocky about Kemper, the married guy that she didn't know was married. And it's at this point that Detective Tompkins is thinking, wait a minute, what if this is Kemper's wife, Susan, posing as Rocky?
Well, his first thing he says is this.
He believes that the Rocky profile page could be a fake.
Could be! No one has seen or heard or recognized this man. He didn't go to high school with Sister Melanie. He does not work at the airport. Of course it is fucking fake.
He took her to a steakhouse that's only open 1 hour a week. Give me a break.
But the idea that it could be this person's ex is actually really smart.
In the news this week, the Have I Got News For You podcast is back for another series.
Brought to you by some of the team behind the show, we'll take you through the big stories of the week when the TV show can't.
From Kemi Badenoch to Keir Starmer, Donald Trump to Nigel Farage, we'll make sure to give every story and subject the complete lack of respect it deserves.
We also cover all the sillier stories you've missed that don't make the front page and put your news knowledge to the test with our missing words round.
Listen and subscribe to In the News This Week, the Have I Got News For You podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
So they sit down with Kemper's wife and they were like, come on, did you call and have an angry conversation with Michelle while she was on the clock? And she's like, yeah, I did. So what? And so I actually get that, right? Like, you know, you don't have a right to scream at her because your husband was half of this equation. But this is what she says.
Stay away from my husband, you bitch, or you'll be sorry.
So this was filmed in Canada.
I literally wrote that down. I was like, I know a Canadian when I hear one, when they're saying I'm sorry, because two things about Canadians. They got free healthcare and they're always apologizing for nothing. I'm sorry.
You will be sorry. But to be fair, maybe she was threatening her with putting sores all over her body.
What?
She's like, you'll be sorry. Ow, these sores. I shouldn't have kissed that married man. I have so many sores on me now.
Listen, I understand, Susan. I understand why she
totally
would call her.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, she doesn't know what Michelle knows. The first question I would ask is, did you know he was married? Just
right.
Tell me the truth. And if she's like, yeah, bitch, I did know you were married. Then you could be like, go and fuck yourself.
Totally.
But Michelle didn't know. So what makes Susan look very suspicious is that she made this phone call on September 10th, 2012, the very day that Michelle went missing. And so Detective Tompkins asks her, how did you even find out about this affair? And she's like, well, I'll tell you right now, and this is very interesting. She says, a man that I don't know knocked on my door and says, hey, sorry to bother you, but he didn't say sorry. but I think there's something you should know. Your husband has been cheating on you. And obviously, Susan is in shock, and she's like, okay, who has he been cheating on me with? And the man hands her a piece of paper with the name Michelle on it and a phone number.
Right. And they were like, oh, also, incidentally, you didn't happen to get the guy's name who came by and gave you the mysterious phone number. And she's like, oh, yeah, I did. His name was Lanny Bush. So we got
some lies to look into because Lanny said he wasn't in town. So Officer Tompkins needs to know a little bit more about Lanny. So who are you going to go to when you need to find out information about someone's ex? Obviously, dumb bitch best friend Denise. And essentially, the detective was like, tell me everything. And she's like, oh my God, Lanny? He was awful. He was controlling. He was always checking up on her. He was just kind of always hovering, really abusive and argumentative. And Detective Thompson says, well, that's interesting because Lanny told me while they had a not so savory breakup, they're actually really cool now. Denise is like, they're not cool.
Not an ounce of that is true. Not a drop of that is true. And here's the other thing. Lanny told Detective Tompkins when he first spoke with him, I wasn't in Brownwood that day. But now Susan, unbeknownst to her, has placed him there.
So now they're going to turn all of their attention to Lanny Bush. Now, Detective Tompkins, not the actor, the real detective, realizes that he's in over his head. I mean, the reenactment actor is also in over his head, but that's not what I'm talking about right now. So Detective Tompkins calls in the Texas Rangers. You know what that means, Joey?
What?
Cowboy hats. Y'all, we are deep in the heart of Texas. Enter Texas Ranger Danny Crawford.
The first thing I did becoming involved with the investigation was ask to see cell phone records.
These are all of them?
Yeah, that's all of them.
Listen, I don't even know what he's saying, but I'm listening. You know I love a good accent.
I love a southern accent. He was like, tell me more about this Lanny guy, because it sounds like his stairs don't go all the way to the top, if you know what I mean. So he tracks Michelle's cell phone, and they are able to trace Michelle's movements on the day of her disappearance. They can see that the evening of the 10th, her phone last pinged at 8:55 p.m. in Coleman County, where Santa Ana is, right? Now, while this is happening, who should just happen to reach out to Detective Tompkins? Lanny Bush. And he's like, hey, man, you know, why don't you come over to my house? I've got some things that I should tell you. And the first thing I want to tell you is I'm actually Rocky Switzer. Tear out the front page. I could have told you that. Breaking news. The obvious.
Yeah, he's like, now listen, I know this sounds crazy. I did lie to her, but I lied because I loved her and I just wanted to be in touch with her. And you lie to the ones you love and you touch the ones you love and then you lie about touching them. And I loved that woman. She treated me like no one else. She was the best person ever. Now, I did set up the date. I did make an entire online profile and catfish the fuck out of her. But let me tell you what I didn't do. I didn't show up to the date that night. Basically, he explained to us that, like, he wanted to get her all invested in this fictional Rocky Switzer and then ghost her and not show up. He says he was just trying to kind of like fuck with her emotions in retaliation for all the fuckery she did to him. Okay.
My God. It's amazing. You're a martyr and a victim at the same time. That's not easy.
Brilliant.
He's like, I wanted her to know what it felt like to be stood up and dumped. Sir, you cheated on her. Mm-hmm. And now you're living with the woman you're having an affair with, but she's the problem. The calls are coming from in the house, but the phone is off the hook. You know what I'm saying here, sir?
Yeah.
So he's like, I thought she probably just ran off to teach me a lesson, and I still think that that's what's happening. So I'm telling you now all of this so you don't waste any more time and resources on Rocky Switzer. That's why you're doing it?
Yeah, he's like, yes, I lied to you the first time you were here, but now this is the God's honest.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. As old Blue Eyes over there would say, I was born a night, but one last night.
I mean, how stupid do you think I am? Well, Detective Tompkins has nothing he can charge Lanny with at the time, so he's like, I'll have more questions and don't go taking off. But he definitely was like, this man is lying.
He
is not being forthcoming. So that brings us to September 19th, 2012.
And they head to Coleman County, the area where Michelle's phone last pinged, and they want to search the area.
The terrain goes from cultivated fields, cropland, to pasture land. Some of it dense, brush, cedar, mesquite, oak trees. It's a daunting task.
And they don't find anything. So they call Lanny back in and they're like, remind us, were you in Brownwood on September 10th? And he's like, no, I already told you. And they're like, wait a minute. Now, let me just jog your memory real fast. Weren't you at Susan Croft's house on September 10th? And he was like, oh, maybe I was. Yeah, Come to think of it, I was. But I didn't see Michelle. And they're like, okay, here are your phone records. And then he goes, oh, wait a minute. I just remembered something. Maybe I did meet up with her. Yeah, yep, I met up with her to give her stuff back. But nothing happened beyond that. I gave her stuff and I left. And they're like, okay, do you want to look at these phone records again? Because your phones are together for like 2 hours traveling to this. Receipts are fun, aren't they?
Like, what the fuck do you take me for, you brainless worm person? Like, we can see where y'all travel together through Southern Brown County and then Coleman County. And also, we can see where y'all were still together until the moment Michelle's phone disappeared from the grid. And then we can tell that you headed to San Angelo alone. But Lanny insists. He has no idea where she's at. He says he didn't kill Michelle. Yeah. He had no involvement in her disappearance. He just wanted to give her some of her stuff back.
Do you know what then happened?
What?
So, I know the connection. It's like a little fuzzy. Meghan Trainor came in the interview.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And she said, I know you're lying, cause your lips are moving. Tell me, do you think I'm down? Yeah. She was playing a concert that day and she made a special appearance. It was awesome. Basically, everything this man says is a lie. And they catch him every time.
Well, of course. And that results in Lenny getting so frustrated mm-hmm. that he ends the conversation. He leaves the interview. But Ranger Crawford gets a warrant to search Lanny's truck. In the glove compartment, they find a receipt that shows that Lenny had purchased ammunition. And that ammunition was purchased at 3 p.m. on September 10th. The same day Michelle went missing. That ammunition matches the same caliber of a gun that Lanny's mom had reported as missing weeks prior. They get surveillance footage. They see Lanny making that purchase. And then it gets worse.
In the bed of the pickup, we found a shovel with the handle broken off on it. The shovel head was actually very rusted, except for about the bottom 3 or 4 inches of it, which showed recent signs of having been used to do some digging.
But all of this, still circumstantial, still not enough to arrest him. They need to find Michelle. And of course, you know, I don't want to say it, but they're at this point pretty sure they're looking for a body.
Yeah.
Joey, we have a new sponsor.
Tell me.
Beam is here, and they have something called Beam's Dream Powder, which is a science-backed, healthy hot cocoa for sleep. That's right. I said hot cocoa for sleep. Tell them about it, Joey.
We all know how important sleep is. It is literally the foundation for whole body health. When we sleep well, our minds and our bodies perform at their best. Good sleep is both mental and physical, and that's why Beam's Dream Powder is so great, because it is a delicious nighttime snack that helps send me off into a lovely deep sleep that doesn't make me groggy the next day.
It is decadent. I love the sea salt caramel. But you have to tell them that Dream contains all-natural blend of reishi, magnesium, L-theanine, apigenin, and melatonin to help you fall asleep, more importantly, stay asleep, and even more important than that, wake up refreshed. Because unlike other sleep aids that can cause grogginess, Beam is going to make you wake up nice and refreshed. And it's so easy to add to your nighttime routine because, as Joey said, it is what, Joey?
Delicious. And also, Beam's Dream Powder is just in time for the holidays because, you know, we're stressed out. But with Beam's Dream Powder, you're off to sleep and you get to do it with zero sugar and only 15 calories per serving.
And I have not tried these, but they have a limited time holiday flavor, white chocolate peppermint, what, and gingerbread. Those are going to sell out. Best of all, Beam's Cyber Monday sale is now live.
There's never been a better time to try Beam's best-selling dream powder.
Get up to 50% off while supplies last when you go to shopbeam.com/think and use code THINK at checkout.
This is their biggest sale ever and the lowest they've ever sold Dream for.
So head to shopbeam.com/think and use code THINK for up to 50% off.
Honey, those sugar plums will be dancing in your head.
So it's at this time that the Texas Rangers decide to go back to that really remote area that they had checked previously and do another search. And they're going to, you know, go big or go home. They have over 100 officers. They have cadaver dogs. They have men on horses. And so there was something else that
possibly could stand in the way of finding what they think are going to be Michelle's remains, and that's feral hogs. We have seen this before in episodes. These are vicious, carnivorous animals, so it is very possible that they could consume a human. Possibly Michelle, if her remains were indeed there. But what was that case?
I know. No one will ever convince me that that guy was not, that his remains were not eaten by hogs.
Remember I called Officer Rakowski and he was like, oh yeah, no, they're terrifying.
Yeah.
Oh my God, they're so scary.
So it is a horrible thought, but it's something that investigators have to consider. So one of the search teams comes up on a bridge off of Highway 26. It's there that they find a large pile of brush. When they remove the brush, they found that the site had been freshly dug. They could also smell what seemed to be decomposition. When they dig in the area, they find a body. And this person has a tattoo on their left shoulder. And using that tattoo, they are able to positively confirm that this is, in fact, Michelle Ryder. It is the worst outcome. They have to let the family know. It's so tragic. I mean, her ex-husband, Steve, is here. And he says, I just could not wrap my head around it. And her poor children. It's really terrifying because, again, I don't know what it's like to lose someone in this way, but I always go back to my dad because in one minute he was here and then the next minute he was gone like that. And that's what it was like for Michelle. She was going on a date. Everyone had spoken to her that day and then she was just gone.
Even her ex-husband. And, you know, listen, everyone has issues and problems and their marital things, and you can just really hate someone and harbor so much resentment, but that all subsides. This was his kid's mom.
Yeah.
And he's here and he's very emotional. He's distraught, as are the kids. And it's just all the bullshit is just bullshit.
Your worst fears, if they're now a reality, it was just too unbelievable to believe that she could be gone.
I mean, you can see Steve still loves her so much. So,
of course.
As far as connecting Lanny to the murder, investigators found no DNA that could connect him.
Oh my God, that's infuriating.
But somehow they are able to charge him with murder, right? Obviously, all of it is circumstantial, but they are able to issue a warrant on probable cause.
Right, but I mean, this is really out there, you all. There was no murder weapon. They also don't know how she was murdered.
Yeah.
There is no stab wound. There is no evidence of gun violence. They cannot figure it out. So it is actually wild that the prosecutor was able to bring this to trial, but I'm so glad they did. And on April 7th, 2014, they took it to grand jury and the prosecution lays out their theory. Now, again, this is just a theory. They believe that Michelle went out to meet who she thought was Rocky Switzer. Lanny shows up out of the blue at the sports complex, maybe holds a gun to her to force her out of the car, drove with her to Coleman County. Now, remember, their phones pinged together the entire way to the location under the bridge. And they feel like maybe he drugged her with something, a chemical, or possibly strangled her. But the cell phone records show that he drove back to San Angelo alone.
Yeah. They did find a search on Lanny's computer that he had been Googling knockout drops. Now, knockout drops are drops of solution of a drug. They put it into a drink and it's designed to render someone unconscious, right?
Yeah.
And what's important here is they found traces of Freon in Lanny's truck. Now, through cell phone records, they can see that Lanny traveled back to Michelle's grave the next day because he realized he had left her cell phone there.
Mm-hmm.
So he dug up the grave to retrieve it. And it's there that he checks her messages and that creates a ping. His phone also pings there.
Yeah, so
this is the dumbest criminal ever.
I mean, honestly, I don't know how they weren't able to find DNA evidence, though.
On April 11th, 2014, Lanny Bush is found guilty of capital murder. He is sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole.
But I do have an update there.
So, did we mention that Lanny is here being interviewed on the show?
Oh my gosh, did we?
No, we didn't. He's here.
Oh my gosh,
and
we buried the lead.
He swears up and down on a Gideon Bible that he had nothing to do with this and that the prosecution's case is all circumstantial. And here's the thing. I hate saying this because I believe he did this. I really,
oh,
truly.
Absolutely. I mean, the cell phone records really aren't circumstantial because he said that he didn't go anywhere with her. So we know that he's lying.
Yeah, of course. But if you're talking about a case where you need DNA, to prove that he did this, they don't have it.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, it's clear. The cell phone records alone are very damning. And the fact that he lied about not being in Brownwood. And then all of a sudden he was in Brownwood.
Right.
And he didn't meet up with her. But then he did meet up with her. He's guilty.
I mean, DNA evidence isn't necessary for a conviction.
Okay.
It just seals the deal. I mean, we have Scott Peterson. You know, there's so many things where it's just like 2 + 2 = 5. You go to prison.
Well, I think he was banking on that, too.
Yeah. I mean, it is circumstantial. I mean, like, you could think of some kind of story. Well, she left her phone in my car, but that's not what you said.
Right.
You lied at every turn. And the going back, the two phones traveling there and only one phone traveling back. Listen, I am a lawyer. I do not call that circumstantial evidence. I call it, you're fucking guilty. Go behind bars.
For those of you who are looking for legal services, Ellen just opened up a new law office in Paramus. And you can find it at www.oolaw.com.
Yeah. Ooh, law's adorable. We close by hearing closing sentiments from the family and from best friend Denise, and just how senseless it was.
Why was it so needy to take someone's life? To destroy someone's whole entire life?
For 2 weeks, all I wanted was to be able to bring Michelle home for them, and I wasn't going to be able to do that.
I feel like if I could go back and spend every waking moment with my mother, I would have.
And also, yes, Lanny is here and he's a fucking coward.
Yep.
He is sitting there to the camera's face, lying. And what's interesting is that they cropped all of his interviews.
Yeah.
So it looked like he was wearing a white shirt. And then when they finally revealed that he was guilty, they showed him in his white prison jumper in a prison. Good on you, Web of Lies. I mean, I thought it was him, but I was like, how is he here right now?
Yeah.
So that was very awesome.
It just breaks my heart. Because you robbed all of these people. You robbed her kids of a mom. You robbed these people of a beloved family member and friend. It's just, and for what?
Ego. That's what I always say. The male ego, it is very, very powerful. I do have some updates. Something that wasn't mentioned in the episode that I actually found in the trial transcripts that was really interesting is Lanny's phone also pinged at the sports complex.
Uh-huh.
So they didn't actually say that. They said that it traveled together, but it pinged at the same time at the sports complex. How is this circumstantial evidence? Come on.
Yeah.
You didn't even mention, like, no. I don't consider this circumstantial. So in August of 2016, an appellate court actually turned over the capital murder conviction to a lesser offense of murder because there was insufficient evidence that Michelle was kidnapped before her death. Okay, stay in prison for life with a different title, I guess?
Yeah.
Like, why are we wasting court time doing this bullshit? He also appealed in 2020 and then again in March of 2023. And he was trying to have a motion for forensic DNA testing. And they're like, we don't have it. There is none. There's no testing. I know it's a fun little excursion to like go to court for a day, but stop it. This was the most fascinating thing I found. Do you know who the clincher witness was for the prosecution?
Who? Susan.
Lanny's daughter.
Whoa.
Jennifer High testified in his trial, and she testified under oath that she heard Lanny threaten Michelle, saying, quote, if she was fooling around with someone, she would end up in a ditch.
Wow.
And that's a threat. And she testified saying that he was threatening, he was menacing, he was controlling. Lanny is still incarcerated at the Mark W. Michael unit in Tennessee Colony, Texas, and you can stay there forever. And I just want anyone out there to know that if you find yourself in any kind of uncomfortable, controlling, or violent situation with a current or former domestic partner, please reach out to 1-800-799-SAFE. That's 1-800-799-7233. Or you can send an anonymous text. You just text the word START to 288-788. Please be safe. Please be careful. Please trust your gut and your intuition. Oh, it breaks my heart.
Yeah, I just want to throw something in there because I know that we've got a lot of single folks out there. Hey, how you doing? Me too. And I am out there in the world of dating, online dating. It's new. And I just wanted to like share some tips for you as you move forward in the world of interweb dating, okay? And this is actually from Rain's website, which is Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network. So, if you're going to meet someone that you've met on a dating profile, right? Here's a couple tips. Avoid sharing any live or motion picture photos because they include geolocation information that can be passed on along with the photo.
That's if it's set on live?
Yep.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep. Also, you know, we all know this. Avoid connecting with suspicious profiles. If they have no bio, no linked social media accounts, and they've only posted one picture, it's most likely a fake account, all right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to meet up with someone, have a video chat with them first, right? So you can confirm that they are who they say they are. And if they don't want to do it, you're out of here.
Remember the time that I asked that? I always, when I was online dating, I would ask men for a picture of their driver's license.
Yeah.
Remember?
And then you would send it to me.
And I would send it to you. And if they didn't send it, I was like, no picture, no pussy.
Well, that takes me to my next point, which is tell a friend where you're going. And if you're not sharing your location with anyone, do it with your most trusted friend or family member. It's just a good thing to do. Mm-hmm. Always meet in a public place. Do not rely on your date for a ride and stick to what you're most comfortable with. You know, sometimes we get nervous and we're like, I'm going to have a couple drinks before.
Yep.
Just make sure that you're still in control and aware of your surroundings. And if you feel uncomfortable at any point, you're at a restaurant, on a bar, talk to a bartender or a waiter, mm-hmm. anyone. And also, most importantly, like Ellen said, trust your instincts, because if you feel uncomfortable, do not worry about coming off as rude or crazy. You'll never see that person again. And even if you do, fuck them. You have to take care of yourself.
Be that crazy bitch. I don't give a shit. Be that crazy bitch. If you have to scream, if you have to yell. And I hate that we have to give these tips. I really do.
Yeah.
When I was really online dating a lot, remember I used to text you everything. I would text you the name.
Yeah.
I would text you the driver's license. And there were a couple guys that are like, what, are you crazy? I was like, yep. It's super fun. You want in? Let's go. If you have nothing to hide, send me your shit. You can block out your address if you want. I want your name. I want your picture. And you should be Googleable. At this point, everyone should be somewhat Googleable.
Yeah, listen, y'all, just take care of yourselves. We know this is the world we live in. Online dating is very popular. These are just a few precautions you can take to just ensure that everything goes smoothly and you are being as safe as possible. And, you know, we love you. We want you to have a good time.
Yeah. But you know what they need most, Joey?
What?
Say something, Bunny.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's what I want to say. For any of our listeners right now who happen to be on Grindr, I see you, Karen and Sheboygan. If you're on Grindr and you want to reach out to someone, just start with a hey, how are you? Maybe tell them that you're a horny little bare bottom is not the best foot to start off on. You know what I'm saying?
Did you message him back?
No.
All right, down bitches, I love this show. I love it when they catch the bad guy, and I love a bad reenactment actor. Four episodes of Web of Lies coming to you. We are going to have a movie night coming up soon for our Patreon, so don't forget to check the Patreon page for all of the updates, and follow us on Instagram and TikTok, why don't you?
You can find us there at I Think Not Pod. Also, we're on YouTube. You can watch us be so stupid. Parker's doing a great job of editing our videos, especially these ridiculous songs that we're coming up with. And you can find us
there. You are coming up with, okay. My love. You are the genius behind them. I take no credit.
Then you can find us there at I Think Not Pod. Also, our Facebook group is a great way to keep up with updates, and that is the I Think Not Podcast Facebook discussion group. And if you want some bonus material, we're over there on Patreon. If that's not your thing, listen, we're just grateful you're here, and we love you.
We love you so much. We are so grateful for our community, and there's some Christmas surprises coming your way, don't you worry. And if you're feeling fancy, head on over to iTunes, Spotify, or Amazon, wherever you listen to us, and give us a big old hug of a 5-star review. And if you have a bad review, may I suggest going to Date with Dateline's page, because Kimberly will never see it. That bitch has an Android. Until next time. I love you, Joey.
I love you too, Yellow Marie Marsh. You have a blessed day. And I love you, DB.
I love you, Dumb Bitches.
Bye.
Bye. I'm gonna need a New Yorker.
Hi, I'm Detective Tompkins, and I was... Wait, what's the line?
I'm Detective Tompkins. Did you recognize this woman? Was she here with anyone?
Okay,
whatever.
Ready? Hi there, I'm Detective Thompson with the Brown...
Tompkins?
I'm sorry.
Let's take it again.
Okay, sorry,
everyone,
here we go.
We're going to do it again for Joey. Here we go. Yeah, shake
emotion.
It out. Good.
Emotion. Oh, yeah. Okay.
You okay, you got this.
Shut
you
the
got
fuck
this,
up.
Baby. Come on.
Now, delete... Okay, do you feel better now?
I honestly
you're
do.
You're not better than me, old marble mouth.
I do. I feel
you
taller.
You struggle with the marbles in your mouth the way I do, okay?
I know, but I would look down on you if you didn't correct me with glee.